Second Chronicles, chapter 34. Now, this is one of these historical sections. It's one of these historical sections which is quite lengthy. And so, inevitably, I'm going to have to just select some of the verses here. And I'm somewhat inclined to say you can read the rest of your story yourselves later on. If you're not familiar with it, it does make quite good reading. But it's the story of King Josiah. Now, whether my version's identical to the words which you've got, if not, it won't be very different at all. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them, and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles, crushed the idols to powder, cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah the high priest and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple of God, which the Levites, who were the gatekeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They then entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams of the buildings the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The workers did their work faithfully. Over them to direct them were Jahath and Obadiah, Levites, descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, descended from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the workers from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, "I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, "Your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord, having trusted it to the supervisors and workers." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. One more verse. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. Now, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the background there, but just very briefly, this is round about 600 BC, probably 605 BC. The history of the kings is very, very checkered, and Josiah stands out as the opposite, really, of the predecessors. Chapter 33, you would read about Manasseh. And it says Manasseh reigned for 55 years. But you'll find that most of Manasseh's doings and reign was atrocious. He was one of the worst kings. Things appear to change a bit towards the end. So they'd had 55 years of largely neglect of God. Now, 55 years is a considerable length of time. Following him was his son. There's a bit of a parallel here. Somebody who's been waiting for a long time to become king. Amon, king of Judah, was 21 years old when he became king, but he just reigned in Jerusalem for 2 years. He did evil, it says, and then his officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. Now, by the age of 24, this Amon had a son who was 8 years old, and that was Josiah. I always find it quite interesting, at the start of chapter 34, to think of a king aged 8. Now, we probably have one or two 8-year-olds here. What would they do if we said to them, you can be king, queen for the day? However, it's almost certain that he was in the charge of wise advisors and people who instructed him in the things that really matter. Because we then read, in the 8th year of his reign, in other words, when he was 16, probably starting to take over some of the things for himself, but it does say while he was still young, he began to seek the God, not of his father Amon or his grandfather Manasseh, but the God of his ancestor, forefather David. And in another 6 years, when he's 18, his 12th year, he begins to take action. Now, we can only try and understand how bad the situation was. We'll pick up a particular idea in just a moment. But all these idols in different places, the female Asherah poles, the Baals, the carved items, basically, he sets to, gets people to destroy all of these symbols of pagan religion. And so things are starting to improve. But what about the temple? The temple is still intact. It is still a potentially magnificent building. I don't know what state this building was in when you took it over. Perhaps it needed an awful lot doing. But the temple was far worse, because we get an idea. Whether it was open at all, we're not entirely sure. But in verse 8 it said, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, now he's 24, to purify the land and the temple, he sent certain people to repair the temple of the Lord his God. We understand that it was in grave disrepair, neglect, perhaps for as much as half a century. And so we then read about carpenters, stonemasons, builders, and doing everything they can to restore, gradually restore, the temple to a working condition and in a fit condition for God. A little bit more detail, which is interesting, where they basically say the workers were so trustworthy that they could look after the money side without any fear at all. And then this amazing thing, verse 14. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book, the law of the Lord. And if you read that and follow that through, what we see is that we take this to be either a section or a substantial section of what had been written down by Moses, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. We don't know exactly how much it was. But basically, this was found in a dusty corner of a side room, and more than that, they didn't know it was there. They didn't actually know it was there, and they didn't recognize the book as such. It had been out of circulation. It had been neglected for so long. And as far as the people of that time is concerned, they are totally out of touch with the Bible, as we would call it, with the scriptures. In fact, they've lost it. They've lost the scriptures. And when I read that, I find that staggering. This is meant to be God's people, and yet they don't even know where their Bible is, to put it in modern terminology. Now let's just take that a bit ahead into present day. Church life in the UK today, church life in Wales today, church life in recent decades. As evangelical churches, we are Bible-based. and we work from the Bible as our base. You would know that in recent history, church history, there's been a tendency to try and work round the Bible rather than from the Bible. But I would say to us, just a simple but obvious reminder to us, that in church life we'll continue to put the Bible at the centre, but in our own individual lives we need to be aware of the significance of the Bible and the importance of it. Now, I don't know where you're at in terms of Bible reading and learning from it. Obviously, you come here on a Sunday, you will gradually hear things, you will gradually learn more and more. I used to say to young people, and particularly some who maybe initially struggled with church, I would say, well, actually, it's probably more important that you read the Bible on a regular basis yourself. And perhaps you're going home to roast beef and Yorkshire pudding in the near future. But is that the one meal you have during the week? Do you rely on one big meal during the week to keep you going for the whole of the week? So I believe there are some Christians who do, that they rely on the Sunday service and the preaching there to sustain them for the week. What we need is daily bread. We need to read from the Bible on a regular basis. I think we simply need to check up on ourselves and ask. Now, different folk are different in the way they approach that. Some people say, I really struggle with the Old Testament. Well, I used to, but I love the Old Testament now. Now I've got a real sort of handle on it. And there's so many wonderful stories, passages which we can learn from amongst the hard things. But different folk, different ways. There's a bookshop, Christian bookshop, over the road. And I'm sure in the church here you can get Bible notes. I would encourage you, perhaps if you've been around a little while, to get a study Bible. So often these things have very helpful extras. We need to make sure that the Bible is still at the centre of our church life, and to promote it and to have a complete faith in that. Now, this may be familiar territory to you, but I'm not convinced that that is the case in all churches in Wales, that the Bible doesn't have as prominent a place as it should do. It have a place, but I'm not sure that it has as prominent a place as it should do. This incident here, where Josiah, under the reign of Josiah and his reforms, the Bible was rediscovered. And I like that word. The Bible can be rediscovered. There's a lot to discover in it. And there's a huge amount which we can benefit from within the Bible. But there's a real sadness to think that this limited number of copies they would have had of the law of the Lord, but it was there in a dusty corner of the temple, and nobody even knew what it was, that it was there. So it tells you how bad the situation was at that time. Now, I would happily speak for two or three times as long on this passage, but I can refer you to the rest of chapter 34. I can refer you to the chapter 35, which chapter 35 tells you that the work is complete. They repair the temple and they have a massive celebration at Passover, a large scale communion as far as we are concerned. So Josiah does a huge amount of good. Two or three other things I just want to allude to. What we read about here, if you read it in more detail, you'll find it, is you'll find that it relied on teamwork. Josiah himself, I love the way it says Josiah did this and Josiah did that. I suspect he did none of the things. I expect everyone did things for him. He said Josiah read the book. No, it does actually say Shaphan took the book and read it to the king. And I think that's probably more the kind of way that it worked. But he was responsible. He helped things to happen. And each person, the carpenters, the stonemasons, the musicians, were doing their part, even in those days. It was teamwork. And simply to reiterate the message for the children, we're each called to do something, we're each given ability to do some things. And then the question is, will we be obedient to that and do our part? Within a church, a larger church, if you came to my church, you'd get a job very quickly. You might get three. But here it's possible. You know, if you'd like to do this, I'm sure if you volunteer, you know, said, "I could. Is there something useful I could do?" Then it would be appreciated. And there is space. And I certainly always encourage people to do these things. So teamwork is very evident in this passage back then. They worked willingly with a positive attitude and, as a particular note, uncomplainingly. They got on with the job. But to be honest, if you look towards the end of the time of Josiah, which is towards the end of chapter 35, you find two things. You find, firstly, that although this work on the temple was done, and the chronicler loves religious ceremonies and so on, so he gives nearly a whole chapter to the Passover celebration. No problem with that, but he is very keen on that. He doesn't give quite so much space to this question, which is, how deep was Josiah's reformation? Was it only skin deep, or a little bit more than that? Was it Josiah and some of his close associates and folk who were dealing with the temple, were they the ones who were thoroughly and deeply affected and did make a complete recommitment to God? Why do I say that? Because it's only about 20 years after Josiah's time that the exile happens. It's only about 20 years after Josiah's time that the people are permanently exiled to Babylon. You can read what happens or doesn't happen afterwards there. And that to me is a salutary thing, to say all that good that was done, but it's got to be deeply rooted. Now, I'm sure Josiah and the others wanted that to happen, and we get the clue in just a moment as to where things went wrong. But we can't assume, because things are going well at the present, that they will just roll on. We have to keep on working. Take heed lest you fall. Keep alert. We need to all in our churches to keep alert. If there are encouraging things, to keep alert, to work on them, and to make sure that things can continue as is perfectly possible. So what was Josiah's mistake? Josiah's mistake is in chapter 35 at verse 20, the death of Josiah at the age of 39. At the age of 39. What happened quite simply was that he went out to fight a battle which he had no need to fight, should never have been there, got involved, and in fact even the king he was opposing says, "I've no quarrel with you, go back home." Was it pride? Was it feeling that, you know, things were going well, overconfidence? What he had forgotten to do was to consult God, because he ended up going into this battle somewhat unluckily, getting wounded and died as a result. And that's where things started to go wrong for the Israelites. So simply to say that we need to keep trusting in God, to keep seeking his guidance. Any work of God can be destroyed all too easily. But if we keep listening to God in different times, but at each point, then things can continue to go forward. These are relatively simple things. Fortunately, if we do stick to those, then the work of God can go forward. I have a lot of respect for Josiah. I have just that little bit of sadness that it ended too soon and in a way that it shouldn't have done. Pray that God will help us to keep going, to do all the things that we need to do. And I pray God's blessing upon the church here too. Amen.